Yes, God, we build our life upon you, Jesus. God, we don't build it upon our career. We don't build it upon our friends. We don't build it on what we think the world wants us to do. We build it upon you, God. You are our cornerstone. You are our anchor when things get difficult and tough. God, you are our strength when we are weak. And even in the middle of this week, maybe we've had crazy weeks, crazy days. Maybe today was emotional for some of us, God, but we build our life upon you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus, for being our rock. In your holy, mighty name, amen. Amen. Everybody can be seated. Thanks for worshiping. Good to see you all tonight. I've got some wonderful food stuck to my pants. That's always fun. Well, we are continuing in our new series this fall semester called This is God, where we are talking about the nature of God. And I don't have my notes on God. Kenzie, could you run and grab my Bible off my desk, please? This doesn't count as my time, right? Looking at you, Sherry, she's always counting down on me. We are starting our new series on This is God. Last week, we talked about one of the first important things about who God is, and we talked about his name, that it's important to know somebody's name if you're going to know who they are. We can talk about he and her and they all day long, but when you put a name to it, it becomes personal. The person becomes personal to us. They become like a friend, and we looked at the name of God, and this week, we're going to look at the nature of God. The nature of God. So if you don't have notes, there were some notes on the back. Maybe they've all been taken, which is not a bad thing. Oh, Sherry has some. She can pass out if you would like to take some notes and follow along today. But kids, I'm going to try to give you guys some stuff that you can learn about. Adults, I'm going to try to give you some stuff you can learn about. Youth, I'm going to try to give you some stuff you can learn about so we can all learn about God together, okay? That's the plan. But we're talking about the nature of God. And here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to get tonight. That the nature of God, who he is unlike any other person or being. God is uncreated. He existed before time. And he encapsulates all knowledge and power. There is no person, no being, or thing that is greater than God. Absolutely nothing. And the way that we know this is by looking at God's nature, looking at who he is, intrinsically who God is. And in order to understand just how great God is, we have to define his nature, who he is. So as we understand the nature of God, we have to look at who God is before time. Before time, okay? Not just primordial, which means existing from the beginning of time, even though God has existed from the beginning of time, but God is more than that. God is pretemporal, meaning he existed before time even began, not just from the very beginning. And this is probably one of the hardest aspects for us to grasp when it comes to understanding God, is God existing before time, because our finite minds cannot comprehend an infinite God. It's not possible. In fact, Augustine, a 4th century theologian, he said it best. He says this, to imagine God as prior to creation is exceptionally difficult for minds that are themselves the product of creation. Right? So just know that as we talk about the nature of God, talking about who he was before creation began, before time began, it's difficult. We don't have all of the answers because our finite minds cannot comprehend a fully infinite God. I thought this thought really summarizes the nature of God well as well. It says this, God minus the world is God, and the world minus God is nothing. God minus the world is God. God exists without the world being here. God would exist without us being here today. He will always exist. He's before time. He's before space. But we cannot exist without God. If God was not there, we would be nothing. So the understanding of God before time is essential to understanding his nature. Because this is what creates the difference between the nature of God and the character of God, which we'll talk about more next week. We'll dive into the character of God. But there's a difference here. See, the nature of God consists of attributes or qualities that precondition any activity in or relationship with the world. What that means is God's nature is simply who he is. Nobody else can have these attributes of God. They are his. They are his divine nature. God's character, on the other hand, don't precondition any activity in the world. In fact, the character of God consists of attributes and qualities regarding the activity and relationship between him and the world. In other words, God's character is now not just who he is, but who he is to us. Okay, so for example, God being our comforter is his character because he brings comfort to us, to the world, to those who need him. God bringing comfort, it does not exist outside of relationship. That's who he is to us. He is the comforter. Yet God being all-knowing in his nature would be his nature because knowledge does not require activity or relationship with creation. He can just know everything without knowing and relating with you. It's still there. So God knowing all things would be his nature. God showing comfort would be his character. Okay? Another way to define the nature of God is by understanding his nature as incommunicable or divine attributes. Here's what a divine attribute is. It is attributes that cannot be communicated or shared from God to anything or anyone else. Like I said, God's nature, only God can be these things. Only God can exist before time. Only God can exist in all space at all time at the same time. No other being, no other thing can do that. Only God. So what are some of the incommunicable attributes that God has? Or the nature of God? And we're going to look at two different types of attributes to come up with the nature of God. The first one is necessary attributes. That these attributes are necessary for God to be the great supreme being of the world that's greater than anything else. He has to have these attributes. The relational attributes, they're still necessary. God still has to have them, but they do relate to us in some extent. They're not completely a characteristic of God. They're still his nature, but they relate more to us. So let's look at necessary attributes. There's four necessary attributes, three, one that encompasses all of them that God has. And they're necessary for God to be God. And the first one is this, perhaps the most important. God is uncreated. God is uncreated. This is what Revelation 22:13 means when it calls God the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He was never created. God exists outside of creation. He exists outside of space and time, which means that God can never be destroyed, right? If God was never created, he can never be destroyed. If I create a vase, I can break it. If I create a chair, I can break it by sitting on it, throwing it against the wall, however I want to break it. But God was never created, so he can't be destroyed. Isaiah 43:10 says, "Before me there was no God fashioned, nor ever shall be after me. I am the Lord, I myself." There was no God before God who created him, and a God before that God created him, and a God before that God created him. That didn't happen. It has only been God. And because God is uncreated and underived, he is then self-sufficient, meaning that he is not dependent upon anything or anyone. He can exist on his own. God is not dependent on the universe and its ability to expand or collapse. This is important because we hear language all of the time in society saying, oh, pray to the universe, right? The universe can answer your prayers. The universe can do this. Well, no, if you say that, you're saying that the universe, God is dependent upon the universe. You're putting the universe above God. And that's not true. God is not dependent on the universe. He's not dependent upon earth continuing to exist. And he's certainly not dependent upon your worship. If all of humanity stopped worshiping God, that doesn't mean God would stop existing. because he is uncreated. He is greater than that. God simply is. He is Yahweh, the one who was and is to come. He simply exists uncreated. And being uncreated is God's nature because only God can be the one to experience it. This means that other gods cannot exist. At least other gods like God cannot exist. There can only be one God who is truly uncreated. And if other gods do exist, then they were created by this God that we're talking about today. And they cannot have existed before time or before God because only God can be uncreated. So does God's nature require him to be uncreated then? What do you guys think? Yes, it does. If God is created, then that means that there is a force or being that is more powerful than he is. Therefore, he would cease to be God. Remember one of the names of God? It was Elohim, right? The mighty and powerful creator. And if God was created, he could not be the mighty and powerful creator. There would be another God that had that title. If the universe randomly and spontaneously created God, then the universe would become more powerful than God, and it could just as randomly and spontaneously take God away. But it can't, because God is uncreated. And these next three necessary attributes of God, they reinforce this first attribute of God as being uncreated. And the first one is this: God is uncreated because God is infinite. God is infinite. Being infinite means this: that which there is no end, no limit, no finite boundary, and thus cannot be measured or timed by any finite standard. So, let's think back to math class. For some of us, this was a few hours ago. Others of us, it was a few decades ago. Either way, let's think back to math class. Algebra 2, if you've taken it. When you no longer have to deal with just numbers and letters, as if algebra normally hasn't confused you already, but normally in algebra 2, you now start to deal with infinite numbers as well. And these numbers go on for infinity, meaning that they never end. Kids, have you ever been in a game and you start to say, well, you know what, infinity, infinity times 2, infinity times 3, right? Those numbers, they go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Right? That's what infinity means. They never end. Well, this is God. He transcends time and space. It means he's not bound by time or space. He exists outside of the concept. He is infinite beyond time and space. You and I, we know where we live in space. We know our physical location in our solar system is Earth. We know on Earth we live in North America. And specifically in North America, we live in Wyoming. We live in the Bighorn Mountain Range in a town called Tinsleep. And we're on the east side of Tinsleep in a building called Mountain View Assembly of God. We know physically where we are in the world. As well as we know where we fit in on the timeline of history. We know that we live in the 21st century. We know that we are finite beings, that there's only so much physical space that we can take up ourselves before we die. And some people like me, we take up more physical space than we should. But that's why we have gym memberships. Praise God. I don't actually have one of those. So you know. You see, just as God does not have a beginning date, he doesn't have an end date either. He's not limited to the physical location of heaven or earth. Sometimes we think, oh, we're praying to God, and God, you're not close to me because you're up in heaven. God is not limited by space. He's not just in heaven. He is above it all. He is infinite. You may be thinking, well, if being infinite is in God's nature, and God's nature can only be experienced by God, then that means that nothing else can be infinite, right? If it's a necessary attribute that only God can have to be God, nothing else can be infinite. But we just used this illustration of math and numbers, that we said numbers are infinite. So how does this compute? Well, that's because numbers aren't actually infinite. You see, a number doesn't truly exist until you think of it. Until it pops into your mind, a number does not actually exist. Mathematics is a concept created by man in order to quantify our nature and our existence. It can't exist without thought. So therefore, a number can't actually be infinite, but God can. This is the greatest part about God being infinite, I think. That even if you never thought about God, God would still exist. If you never thought about God a day in your life, God would still exist. Because he is infinite. He transcends our thoughts. So God is uncreated because God is infinite. The second thing, God is uncreated because God is immeasurable. He is immeasurable. He can't be measured. Now, you may be having a hard time comprehending the nature of God, right? We've talked about how he's uncreated. He's infinitely existing outside of space and time. And now we've got to wrap our mind around this quality, this divine attribute of God being immeasurable, right? How can we truly comprehend who God is? Everything around us can be measured, right? We measure our height. We measure our weight. Some of us don't like to measure our weight, but we measure our weight. We measure the size of the earth. We can even measure galaxies and the universe, but God cannot be measured. In fact, Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and of his greatness there is no end." God cannot be measured. After King Solomon built the temple, which kids, you're going to learn about this in your small group, about King Solomon building the temple, the physical dwelling place of God, he said this, "But can God indeed dwell on earth? Heaven itself, the highest heaven, cannot contain thee. So how much less this house that I have built?" King Solomon understood that God was immeasurable, that he could not be contained in the universe. So God is uncreated because he's infinite and because he is immeasurable. We cannot comprehend how big God truly is. And God is also eternal. God is eternal. You see, the idea of God being eternal wraps up the last two attributes that we just discussed, being infinite and being immeasurable. See, that Clement of Alexandria says this quote. He says, "That which is eternal is without beginning and without ending." Well, if God is immeasurable and he's infinite, how are you supposed to measure a beginning and an end? You can't. Therefore, he is eternal. Because for God, the whole time of view is now. Think about this. God doesn't live in the past. He doesn't live in the future. He always lives in the now because he cannot be measured. He is eternal. This is what Peter means when he says, "With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." He's saying that God lives in the now. God lives in the now. And because God is eternal, look at this. God does not age. That's pretty cool. Because he's always in the now. He never gets tired. He never has to sleep. Nothing ever happened or will happen because God is always in the now. He doesn't have to think what's going to happen. It's all in the now. This should bring us such great comfort as followers of Christ, knowing that God is always present with us. There's no time that God will ever be distant or far away or taking care of somebody else's prayer request because God is always here in the now. Knowing that God is always present. He was present in the past, but for God, the past is also in the now. So if God has been there for you before, you can trust that he will be there with you in the future. And he is most certainly here with you in the now. So these are the necessary attributes of God. For God to be God, he is uncreated, he is infinite, he is immeasurable, and he is eternal. Then we have some relational attributes. And these relational attributes are some that maybe you have heard of before. Okay, these are still necessary for God to exist as God, but they are specific attributes that reveal God's nature to his creation. Right? If you never thought about God, God would still be immeasurable. He would still be infinite. He would still be eternal. But these is how God relates his nature to us. It's within God's nature to present with his creation, to know his creation, and influence his creation. And here's how he does it. The first way is by this, that God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. That's a fancy word that simply means he is always there. He is able to be everywhere without being limited to a specific time and location. God is everywhere in relation to time and space, but also everywhere in relation to us as well. When you break down this Latin word, omni is Latin for all, and present is in a particular place. So he's in all places all the time. But not just physically. God is in all places how it relates to us. I love what it says here. It says, God is naturally present in every aspect of natural order. He is actively present in every event of history, attentively present to those who call upon his name. God is judicially present through moral awareness. He is sacredly present through the Eucharist, which is communion. He is spiritually present through the church, and he is physically present through the body of his son, Jesus Christ. Not only is God everywhere in space and time, but he is also everywhere as it relates to humanity and you and I. The scriptures attest to God being ever-present. Acts 17, 27 through 28, it says, he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. Jeremiah 23, 24 says, can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord. So God is present everywhere, all the time. The second thing that we see about God, how he relates to us, is God is omniscient. God is omniscient. Omni is the Latin word, again, for meaning all. And then sire is a Latin word of meaning to know. Sire is where we get the word science, right? Because science is all about trying to know and trying to learn. And what we're saying is God knows it all. He knows everything. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. His knowledge is without limitation and condition. And this is why Jesus was able to say that your Father knows what you need before you even ask him, because God knows everything. This is why nothing ever occurred to God, because he doesn't have to think. And not only does God know all things, but he knows all things simultaneously in the now. Because if God is omnipresent, then he is living in the now. He doesn't have to wait for worldly events to play out. He already knows them all. So kids, you guys think Santa Claus knows everything? He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you're bad and good. So be good for goodness sake. God knows even more than Santa Claus, okay? Way more. He knows it all. And then the last thing is this. God is omnipotent. Again, omni meaning all, and then potent meaning powerful. He is all powerful. God has the power to do all things that are consistent with his divine nature. He is all powerful. Now, when we look at this specific relational attribute of God, we tend to think, well, if God can do anything, then why doesn't he do this, right? Anybody ever ask that question? Why doesn't God eradicate cancer? Why doesn't God cease all wars? Why doesn't God do things if he is all powerful? Well, because God is all powerful, he has the power to do all things that are consistent with his divine nature. That means that there are things that God can't do. We tend to think that being all-powerful means he can do anything, but that's just simply not true. It has to be consistent with his divine nature. So then how can he be omnipotent if there are things that God can't do? Well, let's look at it. One of the things that God cannot do is actually what gives him the ability to be all-powerful, and that is this. God cannot limit himself. He can't. He cannot limit himself. If God could limit himself, then he could limit his power. And if he could limit his power, then he would not be all-powerful. But he can't do that, so he is all-powerful. He is also omnipotent because no thing can be more powerful than God. So he is all-powerful. You see, God's omnipotence, it gets challenged all the time, right? We say things like, if God is real, then he will heal me. If God can do anything, then he'll give me $1 million to pay off all my debt. If God has the power to do anything, then he will make school close tomorrow so I don't have to go to school. He will do it if he has the power. And that simply isn't true. Because God is all-powerful, he also has the power to choose. He has the power to choose how his power is displayed. He has the power to choose when, why, how, and who receives his power. And because God is also all-knowing, he's the one with the right knowledge and power to discern when he does and does not display his full power. Last quote I'm going to leave you with today is from Thomas Aquinas. He says this, God's power is not always bound to exercise every conceivable form of power in every situation. God also has the power to withhold influence temporarily and to allow earthly powers to influence and other wills to have their own effect. See, God's power is limited because he can only do what is within his divine nature. So the relational attributes, God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Divine attributes are attributes that cannot be shared by God to anyone else. They are necessary for God to be God, uncreated, infinite, immeasurable, and eternal. And he relates and reveals his nature to his creation by being ever-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful. So that, in a nutshell, is the nature of God. We are going to pray, and then we are going to break up into our different small groups. Youth are going to the youth room. Kids, you're going to go back to the kids' room. Men will be in here. Women will be in the back. And we are going to discuss a little bit more in depth about the nature of God and what that means to us. So after I pray, small group leaders, if you want to come up, and I've got some sheets and questions for you to ask, and we will do that. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for your word, for your truth, and for who you are. Thank you for revealing your nature to us, but that your nature is not bound by our knowledge and our thinking. So God, I pray that you just help us as we go into these small groups to continue to learn more about you, to grow in our relationship with you, and in every other area. In your holy, mighty name, amen.